headline reads Murder. The article offers a reward. Victorian newspaper clippings and drawings. A shadowy figure in a long coat strides along a dingy alley. A drawing of a woman in Victorian dress. Rupert Penry Jones, Phil Davis, Steve Pemberton. The shadowy figure holds a knife in his hand, a fragment of a handwritten letter. A blooded knife is held over a letter, a gloved hand wipes the knife with a cloth. Traffic crosses Tower Bridge at night. Written by Ben Court and Caroline Ipp, produced by Marcus Wilson. A body in the Thames. Men drink whiskey and smoke cigars, one wears a police uniform. A pleasant-faced man in a tux, Joe Chandler, strolls through a gentleman's club.
Yes, Joe. Joe, nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
He offers his hand.
Commander, how are you?
He shakes hands with a uniformed officer. The shadowy figure makes his way down steps, knife in hand. Directed by S.J. Clarkson. A sign reads Wilkes Street. A fire blazes in a building. A police officer runs up. Firefighters open hatches on a fire truck. A firefighter sprays a hose at the blaze. A youth in a hoodie goes to throw something. In the gentleman's club.
And that's why men like Joe are the future of British policing.
No pressure there then.
At the blaze.
What are you doing?
Empty, bleeding.
Hooded youth throw bottles. Police hold them back. A woman officer catches a youth and shoves him back.
This is you've been told once. I don't know what's coming again.
The gentleman's club.
We need bold initiatives in partnership with the communities to ensure good practice within a solid management framework. Ultimately, this is about the effective delivery of sanctions to the stakeholders.
The stakeholders?
5 years ago, we simply called them criminals. Excuse me.
The same officer, Mary, heads back towards the building and disappears down an alley as the other officers head off. A man lurks around a corner nearby. He wears smart black boots with buttons. He steps out from behind the corner. It's a dark night. Mary walks under a railway bridge alone. The figure follows at a distance. On hearing the strange sound, Mary slows. She peers through metal gates into a tarmacked courtyard. She goes in through the gates and sees a woman on the ground.
Oh my God.
Her throat's cut.
I've got you, love. You're gonna be all right. PCSO boost field to control, receiving, over.
Receiving you, Mary, go ahead.
Immediate assistance and an ambulance required at the old board school off Commercial Street.
Mary takes the woman's hand.
Here you go, love.
Mary pulls down the woman's skirt hem. She looks up as a door in the wall opens. She glances round to see a figure standing at the metal gates, a knife in his hand. The blade glints under a street lamp.
Christ have mercy.
The man strolls away, his face covered by a scarf and hat. An ambulance passes and the man's vanished. Whitechapel. Crime scene's cordoned off. It's swarming with uniformed and plain-clothed officers. A man hands another a hot drink.
If it's coffee, no sugar.
A white-haired man arrives.
So take back, Skip.
Thanks.
Usual
McCormick. Can't people die at a decent time of day?
Got your own cappuccino there, Kent.
Right, what we got?
Right, it's this boys.
I'm all impressed with you in there. Good man is on you making commander in 3 years.
It's very generous.
Part of the plan, Joe.
Yes, sir.
No need to be formal. It's what your father wanted. You'd be proud.
They're in the toilets. Chandler washes his hands.
There's a dead woman in Whitechapel. Probable domestic, no DI, bit of a rough squad.
I'll take it.
You ready to head out your first murder?
Absolutely.
Good lad. And once you tick that box, we can move you on. Get you out of the trenches and up to headquarters where you belong.
I don't know what to say.
How about thank you?
Chandler beams.
Thank you, sir.
Excellent.
At the crime scene, Fitz shines a torch at something.
Commander Anderson's sending us a new DI.
Oh, good. Wish we don't know what we're doing.
Another fast tracker.
I don't know, not on my boulevards.
Or two of the others.
D.I. Joe Chandler drives up to the scene of the crime. He's waved in by a uniformed officer. D.C. Fitz and D.S. Miles eye him dubiously as he pulls up. A flash illuminates the night as Chandler gets out of his car. Soccos examine the area. Fitz and Miles stare.
That's a good look.
Chandler's tucks.
D.I. Chandler.
D.S. Miles. We'll get you suited up. This way.
He points. Fitz. Chandler dons overalls.
The victim's name was Kathy Lane. 43 years old, mother of three, separated from her partner. She was found around 2 a.m. by a community support officer. Kathy was still alive then, but by the time the emergency services got to her, she was dead.
Who identified her?
We all did. Let's go. She worked a murder scene before.
I'm not a virgin, you know. I've had my fair share.
Oh, well, you'll be laughing then.
They pull the hoods up on their overalls and go into a scene of crime tent.
Street, please.
Hello, Ray.
We've got to stop meeting like this.
Oh, yeah, it wouldn't be the same with that dead body between us. Morning.
D.I. Chand.
You can see the cuts to her throat. On the side here, we have the first incision, and there is a second cut, more decisive, right round. This is a deep one. Seems to go all the way through to the vertebrae.
You want to get a look at this?
No, I'm good.
Miles studies the corpse.
It's not much blood.
No, it doesn't look like much, does it? I know what you're thinking. She was dumped, but you'd be wrong. It's all here. It's soaked into her clothing. She's sodden. It's interesting. There's no struggle. There's a bruise here. More on the other side, with small petechial hemorrhages around the eyes, suggesting asphyxia. I think she was strangled first, and this is how he dropped her. It's just a snapshot based on obvious injuries. Patience.
Chandler pulls his hood back and mask off. He legs it outside and gasps in the night air. Miles follows him out. Chandler composes himself and goes over to Miles.
I want a detailed plan of the area.
It's Gerald and McCormack are doing that.
Miles nods over to Fitz and McCormack.
Witnesses.
Mary Boosfield, community support officer, this way.
Miles heads off and Chandler follows.
I saw a man with a long knife. He was over 40, dark coat, about 5'10". Posh, but shabby. Had a funny hat.
Funny? How?
Funny, unusual. Had flaps.
Did you see his face?
She shakes her head.
I'm really sorry. I know police aren't supposed to cry.
I cry all the time, Mary. You should see my mascara run. Thanks. Let them get her off to hospital. Kathy Lane was a battered woman. She split from her partner 6 years ago, but they were always arguing about money for the kids. She didn't want to pay up while she was living with other men. They'd have too much to drink, have huge rows. We were constantly banging him up in the cells for the night. Once he stuck a potato peeler in her head, bang, like that. I always knew we'd find her dead one day.
Who is this guy?
Rob Lees. He's a butcher. Works with long, sharp knives.
Well, let's go and talk to Rob Lees, then.
Don't you have a desk to go to?
No, I don't. Let's go.
Chandler heads off, Miles follows. Torn bits of paper from various articles, the words, murdered woman. East London at night, lights shine from buildings in the city, the triangular framed glass of the Gherkin building. Day, the city, a butcher's, a man chops a hunk of pork.
There you go,
good
luck, mate.
See ya, tell her.
Police.
Yeah?
A word, please, sir.
Hello, Jim.
Got a new boy?
Oi, you'll get me into trouble, he's the boss.
Oh, can I help you, sir?
Chandler's irritated.
Rob Lees.
Rob's not here.
You know where he is?
Nah. His mobile switched off and he's not picking up at home. Has he been at cafe again?
Yeah.
Is she all right?
She's dead.
The butcher reels.
Has Rob got a woolly hat?
Hey?
Woolly hat?
Ah, he wears one of those furry Russian things with flaps.
Yeah, get Rob Lee's flat watched. Can we find out where his mobile is right now and get someone down to his local? Yeah, he is, I know.
Well, what can you do? We'd better get a move on.
Before we go anywhere, can we get something straight? I'm in charge of this investigation.
I'm just showing you the ropes, son.
Miles raises his eyebrows and heads off. Chandler mutters to himself. In the mortuary, Dr. Llewellyn photographs Kathy's corpse. The corpse is wrapped in plastic. Chandler peers in through a window, his face set in a grimace. Miles is behind him, also staring in. Llewellyn peels back the plastic from Kathy's face, her skin stretching where the plastic has stuck with congealing blood. Llewellyn removes plastic sheeting from Kathy's hand. She removes a gold ring with the word Mum moulded in gold lettering on the front. It's placed in an evidence bag. Each part of the body is photographed. A charm bracelet is removed from Kathy's wrist and put in an evidence bag. Chandler and Miles lean against the glass partition outside the mortuary. Llewellyn takes samples from under Kathy's fingernails using what looks like a plastic toothpick. There are two assistants there, also in scrubs. Llewellyn cuts open Kathy's top, which is splattered with blood. She gulps.
I didn't expect this.
She looks over at Chandler and Miles.
Welcome to hell, gentlemen.
Chandler turns away and puts his hand over his mouth. There's a gaping wound on Kathy's torso. In the mortuary, Kathy's corpse is photographed.
I think the killer knelt by her head, held it with his left hand, then cut her throat left to right with his right hand. Blood would have run away from him. There are no cuts to her clothing, so I assume her skirt was pushed up.
Community support have found her, pulled her skirt down, but she thought she'd been raped.
Or take swabs, obviously, but I haven't seen any physical signs of rape. And here's the surprise. It's as if he's tried to gut her. On the left-hand side, 2 inches in, we have a deep, jagged wound. On the right-hand side, there are 4 more cuts. The stomach has been cut in several places and the intestines have been exposed. I think he stayed at his position at her head, stabbed downwards, then drew the knife up towards himself quite violently. These cuts were done quickly. In fact, I'd say this whole attack would have been over in no more than a few minutes. She wouldn't have known what hit her.
Rob Lees is what hit her.
Miles folds his arms.
What can you tell us about the weapon?
It has a strong blade.
Long? Like something used for butchering meat?
The thing is, skin stretches and soft tissues compress, so it's hard to talk about knife size. I can only speculate very generally.
So speculate, for me.
Something like a hunting knife?
Or a boning knife?
I can't rule it out.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Miles strolls off. Chandler pauses before following. Miles and Chandler make their way up the steps in the police station.
And there he is. After division out looking for him, Rob Lees turns up on his own doorstep looking like 10 kinds of shit. Been up all night, smells like a pub. You tell your mum we'll have your home in time for tea.
Excellent.
What are you doing?
I'm going to interview the suspect.
Why? DIs are supposed to sit behind their desk and drink herbal tea.
I'll treat it as an office outing.
Chandler marches past.
Look, I know this guy. He's a liar, he's a manipulator, and what's worse, he knows his rights. So sit in if you have to, that's your prerogative. But I'm asking you to let me do what I'm good at. Okay, sir?
Fine. But I want this resolved as much as you do. So we do this together. We get it right and we get it over with.
They head into an interview room. In another room, a monitor shows the interview room.
Okay, boys, phone's off.
Fitz sits down.
Hey, that's my seat.
Yeah, enough of my shooting there. But we're all making sacrifices today.
This interview is being recorded and is being conducted at Whitechapel Police Station. Time is 10:15 a.m. The date is the 31st of August 2008. I am Detective Sergeant Ray Miles. The other police officer present is...
Detective Inspector Joseph Chandler.
The solicitor present is...
Lydia Hart.
Please state your full name and date of birth.
Robert Lees, 11th of March, 1972.
You do not have to say anything, it may harm your defense.
Chandler,
shh.
Court, do you understand the
caution? Yeah, I understand.
Where were you this morning at 2 a.m?
Lees glances at his brief.
Drunk tank, Charing Cross. I've got a 10-cob alibi.
Lees laughs. Miles frowns thoughtfully, then looks at Chandler. Lees strokes his top lip with his finger. Miles trudges through glass doors and down some steps into the incident room. Tall, plump McCormack puts down the phone and talks to him.
The check's out. They were looking in on them every half hour for the whole night, boss.
Where's the new DI skip?
Probably with the commander begging for a transfer. Arts and antiques squad.
Never got the chance to know him.
Yeah, well, we won't miss hello, will we, huh?
Got to be a record, that. Shortest serving DI.
Fitz hands McCormack a document. In the toilet.
Rob Lees is no longer a suspect. Everybody, listen. Rob Lees is no longer a suspect. Now that we no longer have Rob Lees as a suspect.
Chandler grooms himself.
Now that Rob Lees is no longer part of this.
Someone's drawn glasses and a beard on the mirror. Momentarily, it looks as if it's on Chandler. He sighs and leaves. In the incident room...
We've got to start over. We've got a description of the suspect, so let's find him on CCTV. He's wearing a hat with flaps, so he should stick out like a sore thumb. Sanders, you're good at watching telly.
I am.
You take first shift on that. Fitz, draw up a rota.
Right, Rob Lees has been eliminated from this inquiry. We start afresh. Consider this a new investigation.
Chandler sweeps past, Miles frowns. McCormack raises his eyebrows at Miles. Miles smirks and turns to watch Chandler, who folds his coat very carefully. They stifle laughs. Chandler turns to the blackboard. He looks on either side.
I need some chalk.
They all avert their eyes.
I might have some.
He pulls out a chocolate bar.
I can wait.
Youngish, curly-haired DC Kent scratches his head.
As long as it takes.
Kent slams down his pen, goes over to a drawer, and takes out some chalk.
Teacher's pet slicker.
Fitz trips Kent up.
Thank you, Kent. Thank you, Kent. Right, our suspect is in his 40s, average height and build, dark complexion, wearing a hat with ear flaps. It's a distinctive look, so let's start with CCTV opportunities and find this guy.
Great idea. We'll start tomorrow.
No, we start now.
End of shift. Unless you're authorising double time.
They all look at Chandler expectantly. Miles heads out. The other detectives follow him. Fitz shrugs at Chandler on the way out. Kent remains at his desk. Fitz turns to him.
Oi!
Kent gets up and glances at Chandler sheepishly. Kent grabs his jacket and goes, leaving Chandler on his own in the office. Chandler carefully places his watch on the desk at the right-hand side. To the left, he puts a leather-bound diary and a black ballpoint pen next to it. He meticulously lays his BlackBerry to the right of his pen. He takes a file from a drawer in his desk. The file is entitled... Murder Investigation Manual. He opens the file to the contents page. He turns the pages of the file, which are held in clear plastic pockets with holes that clip into the file. He studies the file, his expression serious. He puts a cup of black coffee down on his desk. His watch reads 1:45. He stretches his neck from side to side, then rubs it. In the dark office, he turns the pages of the file and reads. He rubs his forehead and pinches the top of his nose. An odd-looking man in his 40s, wearing a tweed suit and carrying a medicine bag and an umbrella, minces down Commercial Street. He stops by the metal gates and peruses a sign, "Can you help us? Murder." A telephone number's written on the sign.
Oh, dear God.
The man hurries off. A flashback. The man with the knife. Day, at the station. Chandler's office is through glass doors.
Oh, who's him?
Who's let off?
You're a detective. Work it out.
Fitz knocks on Chandler's door.
Got a bloke upstairs, says he knows everything about the murder.
Chandler hurries off. He turns back.
Miles.
Miles frowns heavily.
I beg your pardon.
Glowering, Miles follows. Fitz whistles at Miles. Fitz gives Miles the thumbs up. In an interview room.
In your own time, Mr. Buchan.
The man with the medicine bag.
She was lying on her back. Skirts pulled up. She looked like she was drunk. Her throat was cut and her stomach had been mutilated.
Chandler glances up at Miles in astonishment. Miles stares back at him.
You saw the mutilation?
Not exactly.
Where were you standing when you saw Kathy Lane's body?
Oh, I wasn't there. Mary Ann Nichols was the first canonical victim of Jack the Ripper, and she died on the 31st of August, 1888.
So? Jesus Christ.
But 31st of August, same date, same time of night. She also died next to a board school. I was describing her injuries to you.
I don't bloody believe this.
My book. It has all the canonical murders and some other events I think were linked. Yeah, I believe the man who killed your lady was copying Jack the Ripper. I'll bet she was lying on her back, head pointing east, eyes open, hands by her sides, palms open, legs out straight, slightly parted. A perfect recreation.
You're a ripperologist, aren't you?
Why, yes, I am. And I also host an excellent ripper tour. A lot of the operators use their tours to promote very inaccurate theories, but I pride myself on my strict adherence to the known facts.
Well, it is a fact. You're a loser. Now get out before I nick you for wasting police time.
Miles opens the door. Buggin puts his leaflet back in his bag.
You can keep the book. It'll help you to predict what the killer will do next. There are at least four more deaths to come, if I'm right.
Out!
You should be grateful. I'm giving you a head start. They never caught the Ripper, and now time and history have spirited his identity away.
Get out.
Thank you for your time.
Buckin leaves. Miles slams the door. Chandler studies the book.
Every time there's a stabbing in Whitechapel, they come crawling out of the woodwork.
He throws the book away.
I hate ripperologists.
Miles leaves. The shadowy figure. The book's titled Ripper. Chandler shakes his head. In the incident room, Chandler sticks a photo of Kathy onto the blackboard. He takes it off and moves it slightly. Fitz stares at him, sipping a hot drink. Fitz smiles as Chandler carefully sticks the photo down. The other detectives sit around and a couple of uniformed officers stand at the back.
Right. Forensics.
There's nothing, no prints, no fibres, no DNA, nothing.
Witnesses.
Nobody heard anything. Well, they all knew there was a fire. There was the noise of the fire engines, but no one heard a scream or a struggle, nothing.
Well, Mary Boosfield's a witness. Talk to her again, see if she remembers anything else. Friends and family.
Well, everyone I spoke to was very upset. There were no enemies, no motive.
Right, so we've got no physical evidence, no witnesses, no known motive.
He stares blankly.
Right.
Chandler swallows, then looks out at his staff. Miles folds his arms. Kent looks down. The others shift around, waiting. Chandler turns back to the board, thoughtfully.
Right, I want everything done again. Knock on every door again, talk to Kathy's friends again, go through every minute of CCTV again.
Sanders burps. Chandler shakes his head.
How can you conduct an inquiry like this?
Miles eyes him.
I mean, look at the state of you, look at your desks. There could be actions here. Clean it up and log it in. I want paperless desks. Use your bins, see? Use your bins and empty them at the end of every night. And who's the office manager here?
They stare at him vacantly. Kent glances down.
Well?
Kent turns slowly to McCormack, who raises his hand.
I am, sir.
Sort it out, McCormack. It's a disgrace. And haven't you heard of showers? Or irons? I mean, where are your ties? Where's your tie? Where's your tie?
Oh, I'll get one.
It's no bloody surprise the potential witnesses aren't talking. You don't look professional, and it smells in here! Get yourselves organised. Self-discipline, self-respect, deodorant. Go!
Chandler storms into his office. Miles follows him.
This is what real policemen look like. This is what real policemen smell like. I wouldn't expect you to understand. All your courses, they may look good on paper, but they count for nothing here! We're not paper policemen!
He's left the door open.
This is a murder investigation, not a beauty contest.
Miles strides out of Chandler's office. Chandler urgently rubs balm from a little pot onto his temples. He closes his eyes and massages his temples. The others watch him, then wander back to their desks. Chandler's hands tremble slightly and he sighs. The streets of Whitechapel under the glow of streetlights. The CCTV images play on a screen by Fitz and Sanders.
I think he's got obsessive compulsive disorder.
Never known a man so obsessed with cleanliness in my life.
Must be gay.
Ooh, you think?
I've got gaydar. Can tell.
Going to have a shower then?
Am I going to have a shower?
Sanders takes deodorant from a drawer and sprays it.
Fresh as a daisy.
Oh my God.
I found him!
On the CCTV.
This is from the camera at Puma Court just before the murder.
Chandler looks.
Where's the hat?
He scrutinises the image.
Looks like a deerstalker.
He looks like Sherlock Holmes.
We'll check the record.
Oh, shut up, you nuts.
What's he wearing under his coat?
He wears a long black coat.
It's an apron.
The CCTV image is dark and grainy, but the figure seems to be wearing a greyish apron under his coat. Chandler dashes up the stairs of Whitechapel Police Station, his hands skimming the brass railings. He walks across a landing by a corridor. He opens a wooden door and goes back into the interview room. In the lamplit interview room, he picks up Buchan's book out of the bin and sits down at the table with it.
You can keep the book. It'll help you to predict what the killer will do next. There are at least four more deaths to come, if I'm right.
Chandler flicks back through the book. A newspaper heading reads, Ghastly Murder, Capture, Leather Apron.
The Star's headline read, Leather Apron, the only name linked with the Whitechapel murders. A noiseless midnight terror. The strange character who prowls about Whitechapel after midnight. Universal fear among the women. There was a great fire the night Mary Ann Nichols died, only streets away from where she had her throat cut and body mutilated.
Chandler puts his head in his hands. On a street.
Hello! You all here for the world-famous Buchan's Guided Ripper Tour? Good-o. You're all out to step in, please. Save the old voice. Now, we will be visiting all the sites of the Ripper's murders, as well as some of his regular haunts. I swear I must ask if everyone here is over 18. Are you over 18, young lady?
Yes.
Good-o. Now, this is a two-hour walk, and it is not suitable for those of a weak or squeamish disposition. It will be dark. It will be frightening. And maybe tonight, we shall see some of the ghosts of Whitechapel. Okay, that's £10 per person, please.
He collects money. A man joins the group.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Buchan goes over to him. It's Chandler.
Thank you, sir. Enjoy the tour.
We're going off piste tonight. None of the other tours will bring you here. They don't appreciate its significance. This passageway was known as George Yard, and it was here on a first floor landing on the 7th of August, 1888, that a terrible discovery was made. A woman stabbed 39 times and left to die. Her name was Martha Tabram, and she may have been the Ripper's first victim. Some ripperologists discount her because she didn't have her throat cut, nor was she mutilated. She's not a Ripper victim, they say. Doesn't fit the pattern.
Buchan smiles.
Ah. A serial killer does not emerge fully formed. Even he must learn his craft. And Jack learned quickly.
Buchan nods. Chandler listens.
Let us go and visit the place where he killed his first canonical victim, Mary Ann Nichols.
Buchan leads on. Chandler lingers at the back, flashes of the shadowy figure making his way down the same passageway. Day, a tower block. The dirty white spire of a church, a police car pulls into the station. In the incident room, all the detectives are wearing ties. Chandler paces.
I think this man has killed before. I want to look for previous, in the last few months or so. A murder with overkill. 39 stab wounds to the torso and legs.
And this is from where?
It's an idea.
39 stab wounds is a very specific idea.
Well, it might be nothing.
It is nothing. The Ripper's for tourists.
I think you're ignoring the possibility that we might...
And there was no murder like that here.
Are you sure?
Yeah, of course I'm sure. It's my job to know.
All right, serious assault then. She might have survived.
You are kidding.
You've been given a job. Will you... Just do it.
Miles holds his gaze.
Sir.
Miles hops off a desk.
Kent, there was a fire on Wilkes Street the same night as the murder. It might be connected. Will you find out everything you can?
Yes, sir.
Chandler heads towards his office. He pauses and touches his brow.
And it's not Father's Day. You're not the world's greatest lover and... What does IOFB mean?
I only fire blanks. The wife got it for me after I got the snip.
Get them off.
He reads their ties.
No sense of humour, that's his problem. He don't want to be one of us. He's like a wife who wants to change all your bad habits.
You're not a plastic copper, not a real detective.
Sarge, I think you should see this.
In the records room, McCormack holds a file.
Emma Jones, August 7th. She was found with a lump on her head and 39 stab wounds. You're spot on, sir.
Did she identify her attacker?
She said he was young, around 5'9", with dark hair, and she reckoned he was a soldier.
Well, what made her say that?
She saw tattoos, she thought they were regimental.
Which regiment?
Sir, she was stabbed 39 times. She couldn't really say.
So, a murder in a schoolyard, an attempted murder by a squaddie. You think there's a connection?
I want to talk to Emma Jones.
She's still in hospital.
Kent, come with me.
I've got to pack this in, buy a nice wee pub in the country or something.
Chandler and Kent march down the corridor of the hospital.
He doesn't look well. I hate hospitals.
Chandler carries the file. An old man sitting in the corridor coughs.
What do you think's wrong with him, sir?
Excuse me, Dr. Phillips, please. I'm looking for Dr. Phillips.
Are you sure? Maybe I can help you.
Dr. Phillips, please.
He's not here. I think he swapped shifts with Dr. Cohen. Maybe he can help you?
Thank you.
She gazes at Chandler lustfully as he heads off.
I didn't treat Emma Jones, but I am aware of her case.
Does this account look familiar?
22 stab wounds to the trunk. Left lung penetrated in 5 places, the right lung in 2. Heart penetrated once, liver penetrated 5 times, spleen twice and the stomach 6 times. The wound on the breastbone made by a long instrument, possibly a bayonet. Well, this is the attack on Emma Jones.
No, it's an attack that happened over 100 years ago.
Dr. Cohen gets up and searches through files. He pulls one out, opens it, and sits down to study it. He glances from one report to the other.
Ah, yes. Heart penetrated once, I see. In Emma Jones's case, the knife glanced off the ribs. The heart was not pierced.
Is that why she survived?
That and the ambulance.
I'd like to speak to her, please.
That's not possible. She's in intensive care.
Even so.
In a coma. I'm sorry.
Chandler picks up one of the files.
Thank you.
Chandler and Kent leave the room.
Why would someone want to copy a 100-year-old murder?
On the tour.
They never caught the Ripper. Did they come close? Perhaps, but we'll never know. The real Jack probably committed suicide shortly after the last murder. Maybe he plunged into the icy Thames, taking his secrets with him. And we are left with his legacy, the birth of the serial killer.
Buchan takes out his book.
My book. An encyclopedia of facts. All the clues you need to start your own hunt for Jack. Will you be the one to find the Ripper?
Chandler lurks away behind.
That was very interesting. Thank you. Very good tour.
Guten Abend.
The group leaves and Buchan stuffs copies of his book back into his bag. Chandler approaches him.
I normally get a few bites. Wasn't on song tonight. Too many Germans in the crowd. Don't give much back. I like the Yanks. Great enthusiasm. And they like a souvenir.
Can I have a word?
Absolutely. You can buy me a drink.
Chandler and Buchan sit in a Victorian pub.
So, I suppose you're the Ripper's biggest fan.
I don't think fan is the right word. I don't admire what he did.
Well, you seem to enjoy the murders, though. All the details. You pretty much live it every night.
Oh, dear. I am a performer for the Tourist Hordes, that is true, but in my heart, I'm a detective, like your fine self. But you know what it's like, the irresistible siren call of a mystery, the delectable twist of a conundrum. That we are slaves to that delicious eureka moment when the scales fall away and everything is laid bare.
There's no eureka moment in what I do. I follow the bloody footprints and arrest the man holding the knife.
But that is tragic. To be a detective and not have the fire.
Chandler's impassive.
So you're more interested in being a detective than a Ripper?
I'd be a poor man's Ripper. Only able to dispatch small dogs and ladies under 5 foot, can you imagine?
Buchan smiles.
On the night Kathy Lane was killed, I was watching my mother sing with the church choir in aid of the Roof Restoration Fund. I fell asleep and disturbed everyone with my snoring.
A figure in a deerstalker's entered.
Can you help me?
Yes.
Buchan grabs his bag.
The man who murdered Cathy Lane will kill again.
In the incident room, information on the present-day and Victorian murders is displayed.
Okay, this is the pattern. Emma Jones stabbed 39 times, 7th of August. Survived, just. Martha Tabram stabbed 39 times, 7th of August, 1888. Died. Cathy Lane, throat cut, mutilated, 31st of August. Mary Ann Nichols, throat cut, mutilated, 31st of August, 1888. The man who attacked and killed these women in 1888 was Jack the Ripper. The man who's attacking these women in 2008 is his biggest fan. We have a copycat.
Oh, here we go again.
Come on! I mean, this is your patch. You should have spotted this. You should be ashamed, really, that it's taken a plastic like me to work out what's been going on under your noses.
All right, all right.
Miles strides over to the board.
The Ripper only killed prostitutes, didn't he?
That's correct.
So are you saying that Emma and Cathy were on the game?
No.
There's nothing to suggest either of these women were Tom's.
Good point.
Were they attacked in the same place as the Ripper's victims?
Well, no, those places no longer exist. The slums were cleared and the roads were changed.
With the greatest of respect, sir, these women were attacked in unconnected locations by different people. A soldier in his 20s, about 5'9", and a 40-something man wearing a deerstalker hat.
Different people, different location.
You had a theory, but, well, you're new to this, and it's easy to get carried away with all the history and that in the area.
Fitz smiles. Chandler glances down uncertainly.
Game over.
Right, who's hungry?
I think the killer could be dressing up to match the historical suspects.
Miles rolls his eyes.
Dressing up? So he's a perv then?
No. So that the witness descriptions match what the police had in 1888. The police looked for a soldier after Martha Tabram's death. But the prime suspect with Emma Jones's stabbing is a soldier. The prime suspect with Mary Ann Nichols, a man in a leather apron. Think about it. The guy in the CCTV had an apron under his coat.
Chandler shrugs.
Skip.
I thought Jack the Ripper had a black bag, a top hat, and walked through smog. I think that'd draw attention in Brick Lane, don't you?
September the 8th, 1888, the next victim was Annie Chapman. I think on the 8th of September, we're going to have a murder on Hanbury Street. We need to be there to stop it.
He taps the board.
I've heard it all now. Jack's home copycat.
Kent smiles and nods at Chandler. He notes something down. Sanders glances from Kent to the other detectives to Chandler, his expression pensive. Chandler smiles. The torn cuttings of various articles showing Victorian streets. A figure clutching a knife in his gloved hand. The City of London at night. In the commander's office.
Joe, what you're proposing goes against all procedures. You gain nothing by chasing bogeymen, and you stand to lose everything.
But I can see a pattern emerging.
Well, you're ambitious, and that's good, but I think you're letting your ambition cloud your judgment. You want this murder to mean something because death should be significant, but the truth is, most murders are banal.
I'm not imagining this.
Take my advice, step back a little, detach yourself.
And if another woman dies?
The commander hands Chandler a whiskey.
Then we never had this conversation.
The commander gives Chandler a warning look, then turns to survey the view of the Thames and St. Paul's at night from his office window. Chandler lowers his eyes and sighs, frustrated. He turns to appreciate the view. Night, lights shine from the Gherkin building, the tower blocks and corporate buildings of the city. A train chugs along a track, outside a restaurant.
This obo's going to be a waste of time. No one's going to get murdered tonight by a copycat Jack the Ripper. So eat up.
You know, if my mother could see you now, do you know what she'd say? She'd say, you shouldn't go chasing any suspects to at least half an hour after you've finished eating.
Half an hour? We'd be here all night, mate. Our historical murder won't happen until 5 a.m.
I thought I could eat, but you take the biscuit.
Come on! This is a farewell meal for our good friend D.I. Chandler, who gambled and he lost. This is his last supper on expenses. Can we have more beers?
Chandler, Kent and Sanders are on Hanbury Street. Kent and Sanders eat takeaway.
When I eat curry, I can smell it on my pits the next day.
Kent sniffs an onion bhaji, wrinkles his nose and puts it down.
Do you want one, sir?
Oh, no thanks.
He stares up the street.
You should. You look like a popper on an obo.
What he means, sir, is that you need to relax. Blend in. Try and make it look like you're on the lash.
Frowning, Chandler takes a bhaji.
Nothing remains of number 29 Hanbury Street. And this
is as close as we can get to where the body of Annie Chapman was found in the backyard on this very night in 1888. And it was a terrible sight. He didn't just cut her throat, oh no. He tried to cut her head off. He split her open and threw her intestines over her shoulder like a grotesque scarf. Not much left of poor Annie Chapman. Just a few sad belongings at her feet. Moving on!
Buck and minces past Chandler and co, holding his rolled brolly aloft.
Good luck to you, sirs.
Should check him out.
The tour group trail past.
He just seems to know a lot about it.
It's his job.
Sanders focuses on his takeaway.
Funny job.
Chandler puts the bargee back into its container and rubs his greasy fingers together. The streets of Whitechapel lit by streetlights. The balconies of a block of flats. A black taxi drives down a lonely street. A bus turns a corner. The first light of morning begins to show. Still on Hanbury Street, Chandler sighs resignedly. Miles McCormack and Fitz are on Brick Lane.
Bloody waste of time, resources and my patience.
Told you that was up.
As soon as we stood down, I'm having a word with the commander.
Miles looks over his shoulder.
I'm having a slash.
Hands in pockets, Miles heads up a dark alley.
5 a.m, Skip.
Fitz rubs his hands together. Kent and Sanders carry takeaway teas.
That's it for the DI, then. Not so much fast track as bus fare, huh?
They approach Chandler, who stares into space thoughtfully.
You gonna call it then, sir?
Chandler turns to them slowly and takes a tea.
I tried, didn't I?
You did save a life tonight.
Yeah. I'll put it on my CV.
Chandler dials on his mobile. Chandler turns. Chandler drops his tea and sprints off. The other two follow. A car narrowly misses Chandler as he runs across a road. He swerves to avoid a bike. A woman runs into Chandler's arms.
Mr. Henderson!
Where is he?
Number 4 out of the back!
Establish the perimeter, get Dr. Llewellyn, get Miles and then follow me!
Chandler turns the corner onto another street. The other two follow. Chandler shines his torch into a house. Kent speaks into a radio.
Dismas coming over.
Skip, we're up.
Oh,
Miles is doing up his flies as he starts to gallop down the alley. Chandler holds the door back, his torch penetrating the darkness of the house. He cringes and holds his hand over his nose. He shines his torch into a bathroom, which is covered in feces. Chandler gags. He moves on through the house, walking over linoleum tiles.
He took hold of her by the chin and then commenced the incision from left to right. An attempt had been made to separate the bones of the neck. The abdomen had been entirely laid open. The intestines lifted out of the body and placed by the shoulder of the corpse.
Flashes of a mutilated corpse. Chandler stalks through a darkened living room. Empty beer cans lie on the floor and drugs paraphernalia on a small table. A blade slashes a woman's corpse. Chandler goes into the backyard. The corpse of a young woman lies in the backyard. All her guts are exposed. Chandler gags, covering his mouth. He walks to the feet of the corpse. The victim wears heeled black boots, her toes pointing outwards and her heels inwards at an awkward angle. Chandler steels himself and turns to scrutinise the corpse. Her intestine is hung over her neck and she's covered in dark, congealing blood. A torn envelope lies by her hand. The page of a book. Kent comes into the backyard and stands away from the corpse. Sanders enters.
It's the Ripper.
McCormack, Fitz and Miles all arrive. Fitz shines his torch at the corpse. Fitz laughs wryly. Miles pinches the bridge of his nose. Miles leans in to Fitz.
He was right, wasn't he?
Yeah.
They both turn to eye Chandler. Miles goes over to him. He looks up at Chandler, who stands nearly a foot taller.
Congratulations, you were right. So all you got to do now is solve the unsolvable and catch the most famous serial killer that ever lived.
Miles smiles.
Good luck.
Miles wanders away and Chandler stares after him. pale face, Chandler gapes at the corpse, then puts his hand over his mouth and closes his eyes. Inside the house, fairy lights are wrapped around a pole. A figure in a deerstalker creeps through the misty light. ITFC audio description. Next time...
The double event is imminent. The night Jack killed not one but two women. A soldier who's been beating the girls up and threatening to gut them. You've got a prime suspect for you.
You will be the man who captured the Ripper forever.